Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're here live to address your questions or discuss your real-life issue, and we invite your calls right now to 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to talk about, well, call right now, 800-677-9377, because the Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. This is your invitation to listen and take part. You'll see how the Basic Gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's Basic Gospel. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to talk about this new covenant in terms of its forward progress in our lives. It's a covenant that meets us at our point of need, but it doesn't leave us where it met us. It works in us to do and to will of God's good pleasure. And that's the concluding remarks in the book of Hebrews. In chapter 13, verse 20, the writer of Hebrews penned this: "May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." So we get a summary statement right here about the entire effect and impact of the new covenant in our lives. And I think it's so encouraging. So often we look at the grace of God as simply the thing that saves us.
Yeah.
It meets us at our point of need as far as salvation is concerned, and then it steps away. We have to do something else. But here it tells us that the grace of God not only saves us, but it's the very thing that moves in our hearts to will and to do of God's good pleasure. That's why there's so much fear in regards to the grace of God. That's why there's so much criticism out there about the grace of God, because we think if we just are overbalanced or overweighted toward the grace of God, that's going to lead people to sin. That's going to be a license to sin. Nothing could be further from the truth. It's the grace of God that works in us and equips us to do God's will. And it works in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. That's why it's so critical that we understand that we are new covenant believers.
Yeah, right.
And when we say we're new covenant believers, we are people who have been saved by grace, who are being sustained by grace, who are being transformed by grace, who are being conformed into the image of Christ Jesus by grace and by grace alone.
Absolutely. Well, welcome to Basic Gospel, everybody. If you'd like to discuss this, or if there's something else going on in life you'd like to talk about, if you have a Bible question, this is a great opportunity. The lines are pretty much wide open right now at 1-800-677-9377. Again, 800-677-9377. Call now. Bob?
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Staten Island and talk with Angelo listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Angelo.
How you doing, guys? I just want to thank you guys for your ministry. It's good that we get on the phone and call somebody when we're confused about something. There's going on now in Arizona about the bill of Christians serving gay people, and I am graciously to say that I've been saved and know the grace message for a long time. And there's days you come across things that you're confused about the conduct of what we should do, and feel that you're not doing it for man, but you're doing it for Jesus. And in this position, I'm like having discussions with people, and I'm even finding myself not sure. Is it wrong when does the service stop? When does the belief start? You know, it's like, you know, you want to show love, but yet you want to stand up for righteousness and what Jesus said. So with this going on in Arizona, maybe you could give me some little understanding, some wisdom about it.
Well, Angelo, that's a great question, and I think it's a perplexing question for many Christians around the nation. Where do we draw the line? Now, the intent of the bill was this. It was written in the language of it, which I haven't fully read, so I can't really comment on the full language of the bill. But the intent behind it was religious freedom, and not just religious freedom for the Christian, but religious freedom for all. So the reverse could be true. Say someone in the gay or homosexual community refused to serve a Christian based on their, quote, religious beliefs, then this law would protect them as well. It's a religious freedom issue. And that's what makes America great. That's part of our constitutional rights and what the forefathers fought so desperately to bring to fruition back in the day. So religious freedom is not something that we should take lightly, and it's not something that we should just throw away quickly. So it's a very slippery slope that we're on at this particular point in time. But the intent of it was religious freedom. Now, the personal or the application, you know, it's Christians not serving people that are gay. That's kind of the application that's being talked about. But the intent behind it has a much, much broader scope. So it would say to a Muslim who is operating a business who doesn't want to serve a Christian or who doesn't want to serve an atheist or who doesn't want to serve somebody else, that it's their right to do so based on their religious thoughts and beliefs. So it's a broad scope bill, but maybe some of the language in it doesn't lead to that broad paintbrush that I think the writers of it intended. So it's in the governor's hands. She has until Friday to decide whether to veto it or not. I know many of the Republicans that were instrumental in passing it through Congress there in Arizona are backpedaling or saying we've made a mistake. So it looks like from a political standpoint that she will probably veto the bill. But I do think we as Christians need to stand up for religious freedom in this country, and like I said, not just religious freedom for us, but religious freedom for all. It is an American issue, not really a Christian issue necessarily.
Okay.
You understand what I'm talking about there?
I got you, and I understand that. Now, the discussion I've been hearing back and forth, which has been arguments amongst Christians, is it wrong for a Christian to service a gay person? Like, I'm a photographer, and someone asks me to do their wedding.
We're always, as believers, looking for a rule of thumb, and we want to know, is this right or is this wrong?
Right.
You have to, I think, ask the question in a different way. What would love dictate in this particular situation? And for one person, the Spirit of God may work in that person's life to make one decision. In another person's life, the Spirit of God may work where you make a completely different decision. But however the Spirit of God works in you, you know it's for the glory of Christ Jesus, and that He has something in mind. We are so fearful to take a step in one direction or another because we're afraid, what are other Christians going to say about me?
Yeah, it's like they're more the enemy than the enemy.
Right. So we need to cast aside that fear and say, Lord, I'm going to trust you in this. If I make a mistake, if I make a misstep, I know you're big enough to work it together for good. And so I'm going to trust that.
Bob, thank you very much. I needed to hear that.
Well,
thank you.
You are welcome, Angelo, and thanks for your call. And great, great question. Thanks for bringing up such a critical issue, one that we're all confused about. And I think it's a question that we need to talk about and to do so civilly, to really have the freedom to go back and forth. So thanks for bringing it up, Angelo. We sure appreciate it. Well, let's go to John in Louisville, Kentucky, listening to us on WFIA. Hi, John.
How you doing, sir?
We're doing great. Nice to hear from you.
Yeah, thank you. I was wanting to know, I had a loved one pass away about 6-8 months ago. And, you know, it's just been a constant thought in my head as to where are they at. And I've had, you know, a lot of different religious groups tell me so much different things about that. I've had people tell me, well, the Bible says they're dead, they're sleeping. And I've had other people tell me there's sort of a transitional place that they may be, sort of like when Jesus told the thief, you'll be with me today in paradise, this place called paradise. And the verse that I am curious about is John chapter 5, verse 24. And I've read that over and over, and it seems to me that it says that those who believe in Christ are actually will not be condemned or be judged, and they will, and I'm not sure the exact wording because I don't have it in front of me, but it seems like it's something like they will not die or they will not be dead.
Well, what it says is that those who have believed in Christ, they are no longer condemned, but they have crossed over from death to life. And that's what salvation is initially. When we respond to the gospel message, John, we're made alive together with Christ. We go from the condition of spiritual death, and we are raised to walk in the newness of life. So we're made alive, and that's what that verse is talking about. But that is eternal life. And so when these bodies die, we continue in that eternal life. And as Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8, when we are absent from the body, we are present with the Lord. So Jesus Christ ascended into heaven. He's at the right hand of God the Father. When we die, we go to be where he is. That is the great hope that we have as believers in Christ, that we're going to be in his presence and we're going to be in his presence forever. And then when he comes back in his second return, then we will come back with him. Those who are still here, they're going to be raised up. They're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. They're going to rise up to meet the Lord in the air. We will all be together as the family of God, the people of God, and then we will descend upon this earth, and the New Jerusalem will be here, and everything will be as God had intended from the very get-go. So, John, if you passed away today, for example, and you're a believer in Christ, you would immediately go into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ.
What is it that... I read about the graves. Who's coming out of the graves? Are those non-believers that are coming out of the graves? Or,
well, everybody, John, is going to come out of the graves. The lost are going to come out of the graves and stand judgment at the great white throne judgment. So that's going to happen at the end. And their eternal fate is going to be given to them. The fact that they rejected Jesus Christ, that they rejected the offer of life that was on the table for them through faith in Jesus Christ, they are going to experience that final judgment, which will be eternal separation from God. Believers, the new bodies are going to come out of the grave. That's a resurrection. That's the resurrection that we're all looking forward to. That's our hope as believers. So we'll be raised from the dead into life everlasting, so to speak. So that's what that's talking about. So we're going to have a resurrection of the body, and our bodies are going to be transformed. As a matter of fact, we're going to get brand new bodies, just like Jesus did. It's going to be a resurrection body, a spiritual body.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome, John. Let me put you on hold. I'm going to send you a copy of our wonderful resource this month. It's called The New Covenant Journey. Would love to put this in your hands, and we sure appreciate your call today, my friend.
Sure do.
You hang on.
Thank you.
And we're in the final 3 days of this particular offer, everybody, the New Covenant Journey, the Basic Gospel Study Series, and it's available for a couple of three more days now for a gift of any amount to the ministry. And to make your gift and request your copy, you can go online to basicgospel.net or call 1-800-727-2828. That's 1-800-727-2828. Or as I said, visit us at basicgospel.net. You'll find a prominent link right on the homepage for a gift of any amount, the New Covenant Journey.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to Calgary, Alberta, and talk with Miles listening to us on CHRB. Hi, Miles.
Hi, Bob. How are you?
Doing fantastic. Nice to hear from you, my friend.
Well, it's great to talk to you again. Is Richard there today?
Yes. Hi, Miles.
Hi, Richard. Well, first of all, just want to express some thanks. Thanks to our radio station here, CHRB, that carries your fine show. And also thanks to the wonderful callers who call in with questions and challenges. And it gets me thinking when people call in with these challenges. One that you hear often is about the possibility, people thinking that once saved, you can walk away or lose your salvation. And it occurred to me that this heart surgery that you've talked about from Deuteronomy, where it's the circumcision of the heart, in other words, cut right out of us, it's rather graphic when you think about it that way, is really like cracking an egg. You once that heart's been cut out, it's irreversible. You know, even if I had actual heart surgery, it would be no simple thing to get my old heart back. And I just was wondering what you thought of that analogy, and especially Richard, since he tends to be more of the scientific thinker, I think, down there.
Yeah, he truly is.
Well, he's the really, engineer.
I just can't see.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'll often be thinking, you know, I get caught up in the should have, would have, could have thoughts and, you know, maybe regrets and or fleshly thoughts, but I'm always drawn back by that heart transformation that I've experienced when I think about the grace of Jesus Christ.
Yes. Well, elsewhere in the Bible it talks about having our hearts of stone turned to a heart of flesh. And so spiritually, this is a one-way street. When you have a heart transplant, it's because the old heart quit, can no longer support life. And spiritually, our hearts are already dead. And so when we get a new heart spiritually from Jesus, that's a once-forever kind of thing. There is no going back from that.
Right.
I like the way you describe it.
Yeah, and something to follow up on that, Miles, is Paul's words in Colossians chapter 2, and in him you were also circumcised in the putting off of the flesh, not with the circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God. And then he goes on to say, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. That's all what transpires at salvation. That's what happens. It's the giving of a new heart to us, circumcising us so that our hearts can actually love God and love others. That's what we needed. So I love your analogy as well, Miles. It is really a good one, and we may steal it, okay?
Yes.
You go right ahead. Thanks very much, fellas. I've got some other thoughts, but I'll save them for another day, and I'll call in again.
Okay.
We
sure
appreciate
it. Yes, indeed.
1-800-677-9377. A little time and an open line. 1-800-677-9377.
Yeah, and just one more reminder. We're coming down to the end of the month, and this fabulous new resource. It's the best-looking resource we've put out in a long, long time. It's the New Covenant Journey. It's a Bible study guide. We're known for producing good Bible study guides. Why? Because we think it's important for people to get anchored to what the Word of God actually says. So often we put our faith in what we've heard from a pulpit or from somebody on radio or television and that sort of thing, and you ask, why do you believe that? Well, that's what that guy said that I should believe. Mm-hmm. Well, we want you to believe something because you've read it in the Word of God. The Holy Spirit has confirmed it in your heart to be true. And once you've learned it that way, It is really yours. It becomes your knowledge, your relationship. And that's what we want you to experience, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, where you're being taught personally by the Holy Spirit in these wonderful truths of God's love and grace. And that's what this Bible study guide is designed to do, is to help you get anchored to the Word of God. It's called the New Covenant Journey, the Basic Gospel Study Series. It's the first in this, and it will help connect you to the love of Jesus Christ. So for a gift of any amount this month, the Basic Gospel, we want to send this to you as our way of saying thanks.
Absolutely. And again, you can find the link at basicgospel.net or speak with our operator at 1-800-727-2828.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Jermaine in Brooklyn, New York. Hi, Jermaine.
Hi, how are you?
Doing fine. How are you today?
I'm good. I've done some study on the topic that I spoke with you the last time, and I saw that the Bible says that no one has ascended to heaven except the one who came from heaven, and that when we die, the spirit, the breath of life, goes back to God, but the soul that still dies and waits for resurrection. So this thing about when we die, we go straight to heaven, like Paul says, when we absent from the body, we present from the Lord, doesn't mean that when we die, we go straight to heaven. Because the Bible says only the one who came from heaven is in heaven.
Well, when we're born again, we become children of God. So the life that we have has come to us from heaven. That's the source of this new life. So, Jermaine, as far as soul sleep is concerned, I'm just going to have to disagree with you. I don't think the Bible teaches it. I think the Bible teaches us that when we're absent from the body, we're immediately present with the Lord. So I appreciate your stance on that. I just believe, and we believe here at Basic Gospel, that the Bible teaches that spirit and soul go to be with the Lord upon death of this physical body.
All right, so another comment that I had was that when we are Christian and we're serving the Lord, it doesn't matter what the person's choice is, we still got to serve, we still got to love, we still got to do the right thing. Now, we have to respect others' choice because everybody has free will, but when it comes to serving, we need to serve others because we cannot judge them based on what they do.
Well, Jermaine, you know, that's where we trust the Lord. We entrust ourselves to the Lord. We walk in a relationship, as Jesus said, the vine and the branch. He's the vine, we're the branch. As we remain in Him, we're going to bear fruit. And what is that fruit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, to which there is no law. So we have to walk in that dependent relationship. And as we do, we're going to see the fruit of Christ's life lived out through us. Well, Jermaine, we sure appreciate your call today. Thanks for hopping on the Basic Gospel broadcast.
Yes, and thanks to everybody for joining us on this particular broadcast. And friends, we're now in the final 3 days, as we said, of the offer of our new Bible study series, The New Covenant Journey, for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. And, you know, when you support Basic Gospel, you're supporting the life-changing, liberating truth of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's constantly changing lives all over the country and literally around the world. We all have the opportunity to be a part of something very special through our gifts to Basic Gospel. You'll find a donate link at basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Or you can call 1-800-727-2828. 1-800-727-2828 between 9 and 6 Central Time. And with your gift of any amount to Basic Gospel, you'll receive a copy of our brand new New Covenant Journey Bible Study Series. And that, as I said, is a double blessing. Also, be sure to check out our website for information on our upcoming Bible conference, Stand 2014. Bob Christopher, fill us in on what the conference is going to be about.
Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul talks about this gospel that saves us and on which we have taken our stand. And it's a conference to help people take a stand on the gospel of Jesus Christ, not only for salvation, but for daily living. We are to live out this good news story in our relationships one to another, how we just live each and every day. And so that's what this conference is all about. It will be just a blessing, I think, into each and every person's life who comes and joins us.
Stand 2014, finding solid footing in a broken world. And we'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.